and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now somewhere in the ages to come, we will be trophies of God's grace. In other words, it'd be like somebody would come to God in the ages to come and say, "Show me thy grace." And he would point to me or to you that are saved and say, "There's my grace." Grace is unmerited favor. God has showed you favor that you never earned and that you never deserved. But God, in his love, showed you that grace. And the purpose behind it is so that that grace of his will be demonstrated throughout all eternity. Isn't that something? Never ever will they be without, God will never ever be without a witness of his grace. Now, the body of Christ is a witness of his grace, and we are ambassadors for Christ Jesus. And so in eternity to come, we will demonstrate and show the extremeness of his grace and manifest how much he loved and cared. Notice also he said in verse 7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. And in other words, he created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. Our good works has nothing to do with the creation. The creation is salvation. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. Old things is passed away, and behold, all things has become new. And so God created us. He wrought us. He formed something in us unto good works. God's design for you and me, I mean, we are to produce good works, not to be created or not to be saved, but because we are saved, that's where the good works come from. I want to serve the Lord, not out of fear, but out of a graciousness to him and out of love to him for what he did for me. I didn't deserve being saved. I deserved the lake of fire. I didn't deserve God having going to a cross and dying on that cross for me. I deserved the wrath that Jesus Christ took on that cross. I deserved that wrath for me. And the death that he died and the pain that he suffered, I deserved that. But he, in his grace, took my place and bore that wrath and that pain and that suffering that I might go free. I want to serve him and I want to produce good works because of what he did for me. The Bible says we love him Why? Because He first loved us. In Romans, in the book of Romans, hang on to Ephesians, but look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5. The verse 5 says there, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And that love there is what the love that God had for us in saving us by His grace, not of our, according to our works. Our works had nothing to do with it. Our works was as filthy rags in His sight. Our works in God's eyes to gain His favor, folks, is iniquity. Look back with me in verse, so hang on to Romans, and you got Ephesians and Romans, and we're going to come back, but look in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is. You talking about good works? Look in Matthew chapter 7. And you know, the Bible talks about fruit. Well, you know where fruit comes? You know what the fruit in this Bible represents? Look at it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs or thistles?" Well, come down with me. Verse 18. "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth a good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, fruits ye shall know them." Well, what is the fruit? Well, look, just Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I'm getting to the good works. People say, "Well, what is my good works that I'm supposed to do after I'm saved?" Well, I'm going to get to it. You're to bear fruit. Well, what kind of fruit? Well, you don't walk on the grass or kick the cat or do all the things that man says is what you're supposed to do or not. Religion has you all bound up. I mean, everything. Folks, the Bible says sin is a transgression of the law. The Bible says if you break one point, you're guilty of all. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Can I ever get to the place where I won't sin? I hope so. I'm trying. I'd like to. But I have a problem. I'm dragging a dead corpse along with me. And that dead man gets in my way sometimes and causes me to stumble and I fall and I come short of the glory of God and that dead man drags me down sometimes. The greatest Christian that lived since Jesus Christ, he'd been saved for 25 years. You know what he said? He said, "I'm carnal, sold unto sin. Oh, the wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" My biggest enemy today is not Satan. My biggest enemy is me. If it wasn't for me, I could really do something for the Lord. But I can't do the things that I want. And the things that I don't want, sometimes that's what I find myself doing. What's wrong? Am I something wrong with me? No, the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. You're in a warfare. You're in a battle. And every time you want to serve God, it seems like this old wicked body, this old wicked flesh that I am, the old man that I am, he wants to resurrect and get in the way and keep me from serving the Lord. I sat down to read my Bible. I sat down to read it, and I start to read it, and before you know it, my mind's wondering, oh, why? Why is it that way? Because I'm carnal, sold unto sin. I've been down praying and get down and pray and start praying, and before you know it, while I'm praying, I'm not even thinking about what I'm praying. I'm thinking about something else. Why? Because my mind is carnal. Well, what kind of works can I produce? Well, let's look at it right quick, and I'm going to get back there. Created in Christ Jesus. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Notice in verse 30, come to verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, or his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit, just like in chapter 7. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Look back with me and look in verse chapter 7, verse 20. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. What is the fruit that you're going to make? That you're going to know what kind of tree they are. Huh? A little light from the class. Words. The words that come out of their mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatsoever in a man's heart, that's what he'll talk about. Now, I'm not saying you should go around and just talk all. That ain't what he's talking about. I don't go around all time just talking about the Lord and quoting scripture. Me and June don't come down the hallway in our house and meet and stop one another and quote a verse of scripture to each other and go on about our business. We don't do that. But it's your testimony, it's your words, it's your stand that comes out of your heart. If you're saved by the grace of God, you should have no trouble telling somebody, hey, the Lord saved me. There's nothing wrong. It's a witness. We're ambassadors for Christ. Folks, it's words, our fruits. Is words. Come back to Romans there again. He said in Romans chapter 5, he said in who maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we know that love, and that love of Christ, and Him saving us. That's what He wants. That's the good works we're to create in Christ Jesus. You know what everybody's good work should be? It ought to be in honoring the Lord that died and saved you. By words. Say, well, how about living a clean life? I say, amen. But I know lost men that lives a clean life. Back in Romans there again, notice in verse 5:8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Then back in Ephesians chapter 2, He said, by grace are you saved. Verse 9, not of works. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship. We don't work to get saved. We are His workmanship. He's working for us. Workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works. What is the good works? Words. Trees known by the fruit. Words that come out of people's mouths. Words. We're created in that. We testify of the grace of God. We demonstrate to this world what it is for a sinner saved by grace. You know, I like that sign. Sometimes it says, you know, what is it? Not better or something, just forgiven or something like that. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm no better. But I am forgiven. Look back with me now. Look in chapter 3. And I'm gonna wind her down. Once I get loose in the mouth and I get tight in the back, that's as far as it can go. But look what he said. Chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. He said there, notice in verse 8. Well, let's go back to verse 7. Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Something working in Paul. And it has to do with the grace of God. Unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Why is they're unsearchable? You can't find it. You can't find the riches of Christ in the Old Testament. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now that's my verse, that's my text. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Folks, I told you last week, God would have all men to be saved, and what? Come unto the knowledge of the truth. Do you know what the knowledge of the truth is? It's got to do with that mystery. Do you know what words that ought to be broadcast out of this church? Do you know the fruit, the good work that should be told at this place? And our ministry and your life? Two things. God would have all men to be saved. Number one, it ought to be the gospel. I mean, that ought to be the number one thing. What? Jesus Christ went to that cross and died. Between two thieves, He died, gave His life, and was buried, and God forgave all sin and resurrected His Son. And on the third day, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the good news that Christ died for the sin. That's what we ought to be. That's the good works that we ought to be showing to this world. Next thing a church should be showing. Not only the gospel to get saved people, lost people saved, but we ought to be showing what is the fellowship of the mystery to get the saved people in unity, not with each other, in unity with this Bible. I can't get that. So I'll just kick it out of the way because I certainly don't want to step on it and roll me somewhere. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Whew. Man, just thinking about it. All right. So what about this? This message and the mystery. I want to talk to you for 5-10 minutes about that mystery. Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Look back in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. This mystery has to do with Jew and Gentiles being in the same body. Look in chapter 2 now, back in chapter 2. And we're to rightly divide our Bible. And so what is to rightly divide our Bible? You can't understand this mystery if you don't rightly divide your Bible. Well, rightly dividing your Bible is simply recognizing the distinctions or the divisions that God has put in the Bible. They're not my divisions. They're not man's divisions. They're God's divisions. And when you open this Bible, this authorized version, God has laid out for you a systematic way of studying your Bible. And the only way you can study your Bible and understand your Bible is by rightly dividing your Bible. Well, how do I do that? Paul lays it out for you in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. Now look with me. Look what he says there in verse, let's just start reading. Verse 11. He said, we're created in verse 10. Wherefore remember that ye, Gentiles now, in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time, what's that time? Huh? That's right. Verse 12, that at that time past of verse 11, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Tell me something. The people that Paul is writing to, were they in time past without hope? That's what it says, wasn't it? And they were without hope. Why were they without hope? Because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Well, I got a time. I got time past. And in time past, would they have been a difference between Jew and Gentile? Yes, they would. Why? Gentiles, they were strangers. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In time past, who was the dominant nation? Huh? Israel. So in time past back here, Israel was the dominant nation. God was dealing with that nation, Israel. So if a Gentile wanted to come to God, how would he get to God? Huh? Through Israel. He would have to submit to the ordinances and to the Jewish laws, and he was called a stranger. A proselyte, if you please. And so if a Gentile come in time passed, he would have to be... And the Bible says there'd be one law for the Jew and for the stranger. In other words, if a Gentile came in there, he'd have to abide by the same rules and regulations and the law as a Jew. So the law was back here. So I come over here, so I look back there in my Bible, and I see all of this. And then I come over here, and I find Matthew, and I find through John. Now, it's a funny thing about this. I doubt Paul quotes Luke. And he does it in Timothy. So I imagine he read the book of Luke. Paul never read any of John's writings. The book of Revelation was not written until about 80, 90 some. The 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of John, the Gospel of John was not written until late 80s, 90s. Paul died in AD 68, somewhere around there. So these books of John was written way after Paul's death. He never read them. He probably never read Mark. Mark was written somewhere probably after Peter's death, and that was in AD 68. Paul died. What am I trying to get? I want you to see something. I come over here and I read these. I want you to see something about Matthew. Turn to the book of Matthew. In Matthew, and notice in Matthew chapter 10. And by the way, the back here, Israel, that had to do with a kingdom. And David and Solomon had a kingdom. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these, and he lists them. Come down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Were they to go to the Gentiles? No. In the book of Matthew, was there a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile? Absolutely. People say, boy, I wish I'd lived back in Jesus' time. Let me tell you something. Jesus wouldn't have gave you the time of day unless you submitted here. For instance, turn to Matthew. You're in Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 16. I'm sorry, Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 21. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now that's a pretty legitimate reason to come to the Lord, isn't it? I mean, if your daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, and you knew the Lord could help you, wouldn't you want to? I mean, that'd be a pretty good reason, wouldn't it? Come there, and he says, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. He didn't even answer her. Now that's the Son of God. He never even gave her an answer. This woman's sincere. Well, how uncouth. How rude. Who does he think he is? That's what man would look at him today if the Lord was doing that and some woman come up to him a crying and saying, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil, and they've been watching him heal people all day long. Look what he says. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Lord, get rid of this woman. She's wearing us to death. She's going to follow us around all the way. It's very embarrassing. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. The children's bread is the gospel of the kingdom. Dogs are the Gentile. And you feed your children before you feed your dogs. Now, don't you? You know what he's saying? I'm not going to take the children's bread and give it to the dog before I feed the children. It's not right to do that. And this woman submits and says, look at her. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's submitted that she's under the nation of Israel. She's coming to the king of Israel. And she wants the crumbs, if that's all it is. And he turns and he says, thy faith has made thee, your daughter's well. And he heals her daughter. But listen to me, folks. You don't get the crumbs. I'm not asking for crumbs. We're not dealing with the meat today, the children's bread. Had to do with Israel. There's a difference. Turn with me to Romans. Romans 15. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. People don't even know it's there. Romans 15, verse 8. And I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the who? Well, who's the circumcision? Israel. For the truth of God confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Turn back to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Who's the fathers? Romans chapter 9, verse 3. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, as of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. Why did he come? Confirm the promises. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ is confirming promises made unto the children of Israel. He's going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's not out there trying to get everybody saved. He's out there preaching, and he's training 12 men to do something in the book of Acts. I come over here on the other side. They nail him to the cross. They said, we'll not have this man to move. But he trains 12 men. Now you know something? Jesus said you can't take new wine, put it in old bottles. You can't sew a new garment on the old garment. You know what he's talking about? There's something new happening here that won't be put together with this back here. There's some new wine, new covenant, new nation that can't be joined together with an old nation. That old nation's apostate. They're full of leaders that they don't want nothing to do with nothing. So he comes over here, trains 12 men. They come over here. You know what they do? They offer the kingdom to Israel again. So Israel gets over here and look at it. I'm just not going to read all the verses. Come back to Acts and look in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And by the way, let me just throw this in while you're turning there. Jesus Christ, in the book of Exodus, Moses told them that they would be a kingdom of what? A kingdom of priests. Now Peter, one of the 12, writes to these people that are scattered, Acts chapter 9. Paul's making havoc of everything, and they're scattered abroad. James over here is wrote by the apostle that gets his head cut off in chapter 12 of Acts. He never read none of Paul's material. He probably never talked to Paul. He gets killed before Paul ever really gets out on the scene. And yet that's why when you read to the book of James, to written to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad, you find nothing in there that even is similar to what Paul says. It's all law. But anyway, Acts, look in Acts chapter 3. Verse, he tells them there, verse 18, but those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. When do they get their sins blotted out? Well, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Zechariah said that a fountain's going to be opened up, which that fountain is at the second coming. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, it's a mystery. He said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning this mystery. And he goes on to say, and then so all Israel shall be saved. For the deliverer shall roar out of Zion, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. Or when do they get their sins took away? Second coming of Christ. How about you? When's your sins took away? The moment you trust Christ as your Savior. Matter of fact, they were done away with in AD 33. Isn't that something? But look on. So they offered, they said, we'll not have it. You know what they did? In Acts chapter 7, they stoned Stephen. And he said, you bunch of stiff neck, ye always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. And boom, that's it. Now look at it. I got God the Father back here. Hebrews said that God in time past spoken unto us by His prophets. God speaking to the nation Israel through the prophets. All manner of sin shall and blasphemy shall be forgiven thee, but the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven of you in this world or the world to come. Why? He said you can say what you want to about the Son. Is the Holy Spirit greater than the Son? No. What's he talking about, the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit? Okay, I got God back here sending prophets to them. They reject and kill the prophets. I have His Son over here. What do they say? I mean, they crucify Him. We'll not have this man to rule over me, over us. I have the Holy Spirit over here, and the Holy Spirit sins down here. They reject and stone the man He's talking through. So, strike one, strike two, strike three, and what? You're out. That's why they couldn't get forgiveness. They blasphemed Him. There's no more of God to come to them. There's nothing else. But Paul says there is a remnant. And that remnant was in this 12. And they go and 5,000 get saved. 3,000 get saved. But wait. God saves the Apostle Paul. And he has a body. Now folks, there are some Israelites that got into this body, Jews. And there, the mystery in Ephesians chapter 3 is that God not only put the proselyte Gentiles that was in the synagogues that blessed the seed of Abraham, and them Jews was in that body, but God decided He's going to save people like you and me that never done nothing for Israel but pay them interest. And save us by His grace and put us in that body along with the rest of them. That's grace. You're folks. So I got here, Paul's laid it out. I got time past. I got but now. You see that in Ephesians 2? My time's about gone. But look in Ephesians 2 again. He said in time, verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, Jews by care that kept the law, and Gentiles that was going to God through Israel, they kept the law. You see, they could have thought they were better than them old Gentiles that would. I mean, these people back here was port abstaining, Sabbath worshiping. I mean, Jews and Jewish proselytes, and they kept the law, and they could have felt like they were more, you know, we're more holier than you old Gentiles over here. We don't eat certain things, and you'll eat anything that'll eat you. You see the problem? Same problem it is today. You got religious people that don't know God and they think they're better than somebody because they have more of their, they don't wear certain clothes that somebody else wears, or they think they're closer to God because they do thus and thus than somebody that don't do this and that. Folks, that's wrong. That's not Scripture. We're equal in Christ Jesus. Look what he said. He said, He's made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And you could say traditions too. That's the majority of things that's going along in the religious systems of the world today is no more than traditions of the fathers. And they're preaching traditions for doctrines, and Jesus Christ forbidden that in the book of Matthew in His earthly ministry. He said, you make the commandments of God void by your traditions. There's people today that hold to their traditions, and they'll say to you, I don't care what the Bible says, I believe what grandma and grandpa and mom and daddy taught. Traditions.